Now, there's another big night tonight at Windsor Park. It's not the most important match in the world. It is a friendly. It's against Israel. The Irish FA, who organised the games, have rejected calls from Sinn Féin for the match to be scrapped over Israel's treatment of Palestinians in Gaza. And the Republican Party will hold a demonstration up in Derry to coincide with the kickoff. There'll also be demonstrations, or a demonstration, in West Belfast as well. I want to speak to one of the people who may be attending the demonstration. It's Pat Sheehan from Sinn Féin. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Why are you objecting to this particular game? Israel have a football team. They play in all the competitions, the length and breadth of the globe. Sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not. Tonight they're in Northern Ireland. Part of the preparation for any competition is to play friendly games. Northern Ireland are playing Israel tonight.
Well, you may be aware, first of all, Frank, that there's an organised boycott campaign against Israel, the BDS campaign, Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions. And it's a boycott of Israel in terms of economic, cultural, academic and sporting activities. And just to give you an example, since May this year, 160 innocent Palestinians have been killed by the Israeli military, and thousands of others have been injured. And that's the equivalent of about 12 Bloody Sundays within a short space of time. And Sinn Féin supports the BDS campaign. We have been asked by Palestinian civic society and Palestinian political parties to get involved in the BDS campaign. And it's a way of people peacefully protesting against the injustices and the slaughter that's taken place in that region. And that's why we are opposed to the North playing Israel. You may remember that shortly before the World Cup there, the Israeli team, or the Argentinian team, pulled out of a friendly match against Argentina. And Lionel Messi, one of the world's greatest footballers, said that he was a human being before he was a footballer. And that was a very important statement by Messi and by the Argentinian FA.
Pat, you mentioned Bloody Sunday in passing, the atrocity of Bloody Sunday. If back at that time in the early 1970s, England had been playing, I'll give an example, the Republic of Ireland in a soccer match, would you have called for that match to be boycotted? Would you have called for fans not to go? Would you have laid the blame with the English football team?
Well, there are certainly many ways people can protest and did protest back in those days. And, I mean, Frank, imagine back in the days of Bloody Sunday, if England had been playing in Dublin within days or weeks after that slaughter on the streets of Derry. I mean, it wouldn't have taken much to organise a boycott of that game and the calling of the Irish football team not to be playing against England.
Yes, but the point is, there may have been pressure, but the point is, would it achieve anything to cancel a football match or to boycott a football match? Because this buys into the campaign, the boycott campaign that's ongoing. And I just wonder if the people who are supporting the boycott are really adhering to it, because I was looking at the boycott website 10 minutes ago and they're calling for a boycott of everything to do with Israeli commerce. And that means if you are handling a computer tablet at the moment, if you're walking up to a building site with a Stanley or Black & Decker toolbox, if you're drinking Coca-Cola or a Nestle product or using Revlon or Estee Lauder, if you're shopping in Marks & Spencer, if you're involved with the building industry and you're Caterpillar, you've got a pair of Timberland boots, you're wearing underwear from Victoria's Secret. I'm just going through the list here in front of me. Okay. You are breaking what the people who are calling on the boycott want. It's a very difficult thing to deliver because Israel is involved in so many different things. They have been so successful in terms of commerce. So why target a football match when it's impossible to boycott Israel, no matter how much you might dislike their government?
Well, it's not a matter of disliking the government. It's a matter of what their government is involved in the slaughter of innocent people. And how does the ordinary citizen show their disgust at what's happening? And one way is to engage in this boycott. And, I mean, if you look at the Irish news this morning, the The Israelis had been organizing a large music festival, the Meteor Music Festival, which they branded as a Woodstock-like cutting-edge musical journey. And 20 of the leading acts have pulled out, including the headliner, Lana Del Rey. So there's growing awareness of the human rights abuses and injustices and killings that the Israeli state is involved in. People are becoming more aware and they want to do something about it. They want to get involved in a peaceful protest that shows they disagree with what the Israelis are doing. And that this is one way of getting involved, by peacefully and democratically protesting and saying, we are going to hold the Israeli state to account, and we're going to do it by not banning their goods and by boycotting any cultural or academic or sporting activities that have been organized by the Israeli state. And sooner or later, it will begin debate. And, you know, the fact that this musical festival in Israel, you know, all the big acts have pulled out, you know, this must say something to the Israeli government. It must show that the international community, and I'm talking about civic society within the international community, are aghast at what is happening. 160 Palestinians murdered since May this year, protesting about their right to return to the land that was stolen from them by the Israelis. So people have a right to protest. It's a democratic right. It may be difficult in the ordinary day-to-day life to boycott absolutely everything that is connected to Israel. But if people pick a number of issues or a number of goods that they wish to boycott, then sooner or later that's going to have an impact on Israel.
Obviously, I have to ask you this question, and it's easy to argue that Israel has a barbaric approach to Palestinians because it's on the news practically every week. Do you have any condemnation whatsoever for the likes of Hamas?
Well, we believe that there should be no violence whatsoever, that it doesn't serve any purpose, that the attacks on civilians, whether they be Palestinian civilians or Israeli civilians, is wrong. And we condemn any actions of that nature.
Including the firing of rockets into Israel, you condemn all of that?
We condemn all attacks on civilians. There's no room for attacks on civilians, deliberate attacks on civilians in any conflict. So, you know, no difficulty with that whatsoever, Frank. But, I mean, you're making it sound as if there's, you know, equality of arms here. I mean, thousands upon thousands of Palestinians have been killed over the last 20 years, for example. In the last bombardment of Israel, over 2,000 Palestinians were killed. Over 500 of those were children under 12 years of age. You know, in the name of humanity, how can that be justified?
And you don't buy into the argument at all that Hamas are using some of those people who are going to their deaths, who are obviously they're being shot by the Israelis. There's no question or doubt about that. But you don't buy into that argument,
Frank,
that Hamas are taking advantage of those vulnerable people.
Frank, I've been in Palestine on quite a few occasions. I've spoken to people. I've spoken to ordinary people. I've been in Gaza. I've spoken to the people there. They're at their wits' end about what to do. I mean, they only have electricity for a number of hours every day. The Israelis have bombed the sewage works, the water works. They're cutting off electricity supplies. They only allow a certain amount of food in each time. You know, so I mean, what they're at their wits' end. They don't know what to do. They're coming out and peacefully protesting, and they're being shut down. They're being murdered in cold blood by the Israelis. So, you know, this propaganda from the Israelis that people are being used by Hamas or used by other organizations is not true. I've been there. I've spoken to Palestinian people. and they want to come out and protest. And they're more than happy to come out and protest because they have nothing left to lose.
You're also boycotting McDonald's tonight. Is that right? Is this part of the protest in West Belfast?
Well, I'm not aware of that protest, Frank. I mean, there have been a number of protests organised. We organised our protest on Saturday. We were conscious that we didn't want to organise a protest where it might lead to confrontation with people, particularly from the unionist community. So we organised a protest here in West Belfast at the International Wall. Others have organised protests, and that's up to them.
So there's a protest tonight at McDonald's in West Belfast that isn't organised by Sinn Féin. That's not part of your agenda.
No, that's not organised by us. No.
The protest at Free Derry Corner, that is a Sinn Féin protest?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay. Pat Sheehan, thank you very much indeed. Your opinions on this, of course, are very welcome. I want to speak to Gregory Campbell from the DUP. Gregory Campbell, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Gregory, do you accept that a message has to be sent to Israel for the barbaric action they take against the Palestinian people?
Well, I accept that the political situation in the Middle East is fraught with difficulty, that there are people there on either side who have very, very strong opinions, and rightly so, given what is going on there. But that's nothing to do with the football match that's taking part tonight at Windsor Park. That's the point. You know, Sinn Féin seem to have turned boycott into a specialist art now. You know, they boycotted they called for a boycott of the Eurovision Song Contest. Now they want to boycott a friendly football match. They boycott Stormont. They boycott Westminster. I mean, they seem to have turned this into almost a professional art.
Well, they're not alone in boycotting against Israel. A significant number of people do that. And Pat Sheehan was making the point, which I would have brought up with you if I'd been speaking to you earlier as well, about Argentina. That was a very high-profile game that Argentina refused to play against Israel in Tel Aviv.
Well, you see, the problem with this is, Frank, that once you do this, I'm a politician who has an interest in football. I'm a football fan. But I always distinguish very clearly between politics and football. And whenever there are any issues that impinge into the sporting arena, it's usually not a good idea for politicians to involve themselves in the sporting arena. That's usually the case, that it is a very bad idea. Once you cross that line, and whether it's a boycott in Argentina or whether it's a boycott of an Israel-friendly game tonight, where then do you stop? Is there going to be some other country that has severe human rights infringements? For example, there are all sorts of allegations about Saudi Arabia. So if there was to be a friendly game with Saudi Arabia, does anyone suggest that we should boycott that? There are other countries with huge human rights records that are deplorable. Do we boycott them as well? That's the problem once you go down this route.
Is there not a slight difference with Israel, however, because players who play for Israel have a duty to do military service? I'm not suggesting that all of them have done their military service as yet, but many well-known Israeli footballers have served in uniform in Israel.
Yeah, yes, they have, and there are many people in the Middle East who think that's a good thing. You know, that, and there are many people in other countries who wish that they could have a similar process, but that's nothing to do with the match that's taking place tonight. You see, the problem is, once you start this, you know, you will have a series of other countries. You will get into whataboutery, because, you know, there will be a series of other countries who have appalling records in a whole range of areas. And if they have an international football team, do you then sit down once the fixture list is drawn up and go through them and say, well, we'll put a red line through them because we don't like them because of what they've done, and because they have prisoners of conscience, and because they have other people, their religious rights record is poor, or their human rights record, or their record on a whole series of other gender issues, whatever the case is. Do we then start saying, well, we can't meet them, can't play them, and if you're drawn against them, you only play them under protest? That's the problem that this procedure leads us into if you go down the route.
In relation to the protest at McDonald's, because there is one tonight in West Belfast between 7:30 and 8:30, they're calling on McDonald's not to sponsor Northern Ireland because they've issued this invitation to the Israelis. These people have a point that they're trying to make in a very public way, because they feel that someone has to speak on behalf of the suffering people in Gaza.
You know, it's getting ludicrous now. They're going to boycott McDonald's now. So are they going to boycott McDonald's for the game and then going for a Big Mac tomorrow? You know, people complain about Israel, and then whenever you point out, I mean, I've seen local councils saying they're all in favour of this boycott, this investment program against Israel, and then you point out that their iPads supplied by the council were actually produced in Israel. And are they going to hand them back? And their iPhones were made in Israel. They're going to hand them back. And then they go, oh, well, perhaps maybe could we do a boycott for a short time? You know, this is ludicrous. This is nonsensical. You know, let sport be sport, and we'll argue the politics and let the footballers get on with it. And I hope everybody enjoys the game tonight. Unfortunately, I can't make it. I'm at Westminster, but hopefully the game will be a good game, and hopefully Northern Ireland will recover from the weekend and we'll win.
But should you as a politician do more away from football to condemn Israel for what they do on the innocent people in Palestine?
Well, I think away from football, I think we should all take an abiding interest in the Middle East. And for example, I mean, I was part of a DUP delegation that went out to Israel a few months ago. And not only did we meet Israelis, but we met Palestinians as well. The problem with some anti-Israel people, and Sinn Féin fall into this category, as do others, is that they go to the Palestinians, they hear their case, and then they refuse to hear the Israeli case. You know, that is what I have heard many politicians say who take up an anti-Israel position. They will hear the Palestinians, they will hear a neutral viewpoint, but they will not tolerate a pro-Israeli approach. Now, that's just not tenable. I think everybody should take an interest. We should try and get a two-state solution. We should work at it. It is very exceptionally difficult, but you've got to hear both sides of the argument. There's no point in saying, I'm only going to hear one side because I have a closed mind to the pro-Israeli case, and I only will accept the pro-Palestinian case.
Gregory Campbell, thank you very much indeed. Your opinions are welcome. 02890 333 105. We'll hear from you on the countdown to this match. It's not an important game, but it's going to be one that's going to be so obviously reported on because of, I suppose, what's happening on the periphery of the actual match. John has called it. Good morning, John, and good morning to Paul as well. I think Paul's first. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Frank. It's just I'm ringing up about Patsy McGlone, is it?
Just stay with me, Paul. I'm trying to get the people in order here. Let me see. Okay. Yeah, you're first, Paul. Go ahead.
Right. I'm just ringing up about Sinn Féin hypocrites. Frank.
Yeah, just hold on a second till we get the names right. You mentioned Patsy McGlone. Patsy McGlone is a member of the SDLP. He's made no contribution to the programme at all. He hasn't expressed an opinion on this match, from my knowledge. But you were talking about, I think you're talking about Pat Sheehan, who is a senior member of Sinn Féin.
Correct. Sorry about that. It's just that they're really hypocrites, Frank. You know what I mean? They're talking about bombing. You know what I mean? Look at the bombing in the past, the murder they caused in the past, innocent people, you know what I mean? And he's going on about Israel coming here for a match. You mean the people are entitled to watch a match, and he's criticizing it. I mean, I've never seen so much hypocrite in all my life as Sinn Féin ARA. I mean, the people in Northern Ireland keep remembering what they done here against the people of Northern Ireland. That type of thing. And then they're bringing a match here, Frank, for people to enjoy, and he brings this into it. I mean, that's why I'm ringing this morning.
Well, Paul, he's coming from a position in 2018, a position that he's held for a number of years, right back, certainly back to 1998, where Pat Sheehan and people in his party have been in a position where they have rejected violence. And that's a significant number of years. So is he not in a position now to condemn people who would be carrying out violence upon others?
No, Frank. It's a short memory. He's got a short memory, Frank. You know what I mean? The people have suffered here with the bombing, and the other day with the Primark building getting burned down. Look at the shops they burned down with sanitary devices. I'm sure it brought back memories for him, Frank.
Well, it will bring back memories for people, but we're talking about 2018, where innocent people are being killed by the Israelis in the Middle East. That, you know, that's not something that he, that's not an accusation he's making that might or might not be true. That is fact. So does something need to be done about that?
It needs to be done, Frank. But the thing is, the people here are suffering, have suffered in the past with the bombings and the shootings and the murders that went on type of thing. I think if people need a bit of peace, Frank, that, instead of worrying about other countries.
Okay, Paul, we get where you're coming from. You're not going to really hold an opinion on the Middle East at all, but you do feel that the haunting memory of the troubles here certainly haven't gone from your mind, and that's understandable. I'm not suggesting that they should have gone. John's got a point. Go ahead, John.
Hi, John. Hi, Frank. I just want you to recap what you said to Gregory Campbell there. I think your words were the barbaric attacks by Israel. Was that how you worded it?
I may have used those words. I may have used those words because innocent people absolutely have been shot by the Israelis. There's no question or doubt about that.
What about the innocent people killed by the Palestinian terrorists?
No problem, John. I put that to Pat Sheehan. I asked him for his assessment of Hamas. I gave him the opportunity to condemn Hamas.
The show there now.
Yeah.
Well, you see, Frank, you seem to be peddling the usual left-wing agenda on these things, and it's all bad Israel. Israel's a sovereign state surrounded by all its enemies, and it's being attacked. And what's it meant to do? Just take it, or has it got to defend itself? It's got to defend itself, hasn't it?
You broke up slightly there on me. Just give me your argument again.
I'm saying to you, Israel is a sovereign state. You hear me?
No, I can't hear it this clear. It was actually clearer a moment ago. Undo whatever you did on your phone. I got an interruption on my headphones, so I didn't hear you. Hold on a wee sec. Make your point to me now.
Okay, Israel is a sovereign state, and it's surrounded by its enemies. And what's it meant to do when it's attacked? It's got to defend itself, hasn't it? You're not talking about Hamas bombing Israel from schools, setting up its Katush rockets beside hospitals, beside schools, and launching random attacks on Israel.
John, I think anyone who thinks that one group is right in the Middle East and another group is wrong are not following
That's the usual left-wing nonsense, Frank.
John, it's the fact. It's a fact, John.
Of course one side's right. Have you ever talked to any Palestinians, have you? Have you ever talked to anybody from Palestine?
Have you ever seen the suffering that the Palestinians are going through? Have you seen the suffering the Israelis are going through as well? Hold on, John. Don't interrupt me until I'm finished. If you don't accept that both sides are suffering in the Middle East, if you don't accept that both sides are suffering, then you're not looking at the real situation. Innocent people are being killed on both sides, but the Israelis have the ability to kill at will, and they have killed at will. And if we ignore that, we're not reporting it properly.
No, but you've changed your tact. You said to me one thing, and now you've changed it that both sides are suffering. One side's right, and it's the Israeli side. They're defending themselves, and the Palestinian Arab-Muslim coalition, whatever it is getting at them whatever what way they can. They can't do it with a conventional army because Israel keeps beating them back, so they do it by sneaky methods, just like the IRA people that the last caller, Paul, was mentioning. So what is Israel meant to do? It's a sovereign state, and it's being attacked. Hamas uses its people as human shields and whips its people up.
John, I put all that to Pat Sheehan. John, I put that to Pat Sheehan earlier in the programme about Hamas and how Hamas are in line for condemnation, which Pat Sheehan was not prepared to visit upon Hamas. He said he condemned anyone who killed innocent people, but he wasn't going to call on Hamas to stop attacking Israel.
So as
you fully understand what I'm saying, John, there are people suffering on both sides. There are people in dilemmas on both sides. And the reality is, at this moment in time, in Gaza, it must be one of the worst places on earth to live, regardless of whether you put all the blame on Israel or whether you put some of the blame on the people around you who are in Hamas. If you're an innocent person in Gaza, it must be hell on earth.
And isn't that why they're leaving? And have you spoken to anybody that's actually left Gaza and they're out of the grip of Hamas? Have you spoken to anybody from there, Frank? Because I have. And what they tell me is Hamas is holding them back. They'd rather be part of Israel, because Israel gives them peace, builds them schools, builds them hospitals, builds them roads, gives them jobs. And what does Hamas do? Keep them in subjection and under attack, because they keep starting the trouble.
Yeah, John, you make it sound like as if you can amble in and out of Gaza at will. But thank you for your contribution. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. Great responsibility on this programme to show both sides of any argument and to report the reality of any crisis. Let me speak to Gary McAllister, who will only see football, and that's why I'm always happy to talk to a man like Gary. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Gary, should we only see football today, however, because this is Israel and the spotlight is on Israel? It's an international spotlight on Israel. Can we only see football when Israel are in town?
Well, I think, Frank, we in Northern Ireland should know better than anyone else that using sport or football as something to highlight division isn't a positive. Actually, we are often held as a shining example to others as to how sport and football in particular can actually overcome division and bring people together. You know, we've had some pretty bad experiences of our own here in this country. Unfortunately, the part of Northern Ireland that I grew up in had over 600 people killed. But in my involvement in football, I've seen mainly people who have used football as the opportunity to get away from those problems and to try and build bridges within between communities.
So tonight we should be welcoming an Israeli football team. We should be enjoying the great unification spirit that goes with sport, and counting the goals as they go in and ignoring politics.
Yes, I firmly believe that. I cannot be a person who has advocated for people from Northern Ireland when they're going to a Northern Ireland game to leave their political views at home and then on this occasion accept that we should in some way allow this event to be politicised, because I don't think that is the right approach to it. I think if we're saying keep politics out of sport and out of football, then that has to apply really whoever you're playing. Bear in mind that we in Northern Ireland had the experience of our international team having to play our games away from our country for 4 years because of the conflict here. During one of the seasons, our Irish League clubs had to shut out European club competition because of what many people would describe as political violence. So I don't think it's of any benefit for people to allow an international football match to become politicised.
Gary, thank you very much indeed. Gary McAllister from the Amalgamation of Northern Ireland Supporters. And Gary Lanahan has a point to make. Good morning, Gary.
Morning, Frank. Exactly what Gary McAllister just said there. I would have preferred it for politics to be kept out of sport here again. The bridges that Northern Ireland fans have built over the years is, it's just tremendous everywhere. They're welcomed everywhere you go, and, to an extent, politics is kept out of sport, so it is. But what I rang up is, I agree with you, Frank. There's rights and wrongs done on both sides in the Middle East, and there's atrocities carried out. There's mistakes carried out on both sides. Where civilian casualties are heavy. But I could not ring in this morning when I heard Pat Sheehan on, you know, once again, the politics of division, you know, talking about the rights of civilians, a convicted bomber talking about the rights of civilians, you know, being bombed. Let's not forget that the IRA bombed Windsor Park with Northern Ireland fans in it, so that or tried to bomb with Northern Ireland fans in it. But, I mean, the rank hypocrisy from Sinn Féin on the boycott thing alone, you know, you pressed them, and rightly so. I condemn all murder of innocence, unequivocally condemn all murder of innocence. If Israel is wrong when they're bombing Palestinians, then they're wrong. Same with Hamas. When they're firing rockets from schools and from crowds and the Israelis, then they're wrong as well. But let's look at Sinn Féin and their boycott. Here's a bit of irony before we even start, Frank. Tonight, I would dare say you'd probably see one or two Celtic shirts and Celtic tracksuits and things to do with Celtic being worn at the boycott. You know, that will be a given. You'd have all New Balance who produce Celtic's kits, produces footwear for the Israeli army, trainers exclusively for the IDF. So they're going to boycott Celtic tops and Celtic regalia. But, I mean, again with the boycott, tonight you'll see them standing with Palestinian flags. And I watched, I cheered you on, coming back with Big Julian, coming down Royal Avenue and prayed the other week. So that, and then Sinn Féin came along. So that, and it was the first march that I had seen in many a long day that Sinn Féin hadn't got Palestine flags, and our Sinn Féin members and supporters weren't carrying Palestine flags. You know, and it's the smoke and mirrors with Sinn Féin, who will use anything, you know, anything and anyone to gain and score political points. So, I wonder why they weren't carrying Palestine flags. It's because of the LGBT rights in Palestine, where Hamas, you know, at the stroke of a pen, wouldn't think twice about throwing an LGBT person off a roof. And again, he mentioned the electricity being cut off. I also have been to Israel and I've been to the West Bank on tours, and I've spoke to Israelis and I've spoke to politicians here. And Pat was quick to point out that they switch the electricity off. Well, it's Hamas and the Palestinian Authority that do that and control that. So they do. And if you look at some of the evidence and some of the stuff that comes out of there, you know, a lot of the money that goes poured in, and you rightly so said about the suffering of the Palestinian people. And when you look, yes, that's correct. No doubt. But then you look at the millions upon millions that's pumped into it, and the money that's set aside by Hamas to build terror tunnels, you know, rather than feed, clothe and protect their own people. So yes, Sinn Féin, by all means have your boycott. Keep it in West Belfast. Keep it away from the game, and let those of us that want to go to a game and keep politics out of sport and watch a football match that's been reciprocated, remember, when we played in Israel, so we didn't have no problems at all. And just let us go and enjoy the match. And don't forget that the members of both communities are watching and cheering both teams tonight, and members of both communities playing on the pitch. And that's the way it should be.
Okay. Got to leave it there. Gary, thank you. I'm just looking at two emails here, and I can't read them all out. I really do thank you for them with regards to the discussion about the football match and the possible boycott. And here are two that just, you know, remind me of why my head does be sore when I go home some days. Okay, here's one of them. Frank, I can't even listen to you. You are bitter and biased. You seem to let Sinn Féin on your show and mouth off. Complete double standards by that Sinn Féin representative. Hamas are using people as human shields. So did the IRA. There are loads of pictures of people throwing stones with the IRA shooting soldiers and using those kids as weapons. Seriously, does Pat Sheehan have a short memory? I'm so cross at you, Frank. Signed, Susanna. And then just a couple of texts away from that. Frank, you are nothing but an apologist for Israel. Why don't you go and broadcast from Tel Aviv? So there you go. You wonder why, as I say, my head does be spinning.